Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Remember, when navigating hard times and uncertain seasons, God keeps all who remain in Christ.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
You stand on the authority of God's Word and you say to Satan, I am a child of God. I remember the day and the time God saved me.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith. Now, let's go to today's message.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of wisdom. I'm reminded of a story, a true story. Sonny can attest to it. It happened to the both of us. Right before our nephew Lucas turned 4, his birthday wish was to come stay with us for about a week. I believe it was 4. Was it before he turned 3? 4. Right before he turned 4. I was a little reluctant because I thought, he's not yet 4. We live 4 hours away. He's going to be with us an hour or two and he's going to want to go home. Well, I was wrong about that. Thankfully, he stayed with us the entire week. He had an agenda of things that he wanted to do. The biggest thing he wanted to do was produce videos. And so he and I sat down and did videos. The studio area that I had to work in was hot. It wasn't air conditioned. I came down with the flu or something during that time. So not only was it hot, I was running a fever. I didn't feel like doing the work that he was wanting to do, but we did it just the same. But Lucas, as many young children, was a very finicky eater. He loved those mozzarella cheese sticks, those individually wrapped mozzarella cheese sticks. And so I went to the store and I found a 50-pack of individually wrapped mozzarella cheese sticks. Put them in the refrigerator, knew that we would be okay, because even if he didn't want to eat what we were fixing, he would have mozzarella cheese sticks. And so when Lucas arrived with us, I said, Lucas, here are the cheese sticks. We put them on a very low level of the refrigerator so that he would be able to reach them. I said, you help yourself. Shauna, they call Sonia Shauna, and they call me Uncle Chuck. We bought these for you. They're yours. You can eat them as you want. We'll eat them too, but help yourself. Well, the next morning, I go to work and I leave very early. Lucas is still asleep. Sonia's still asleep because at that time I was going to work very early in the morning. I said, well, I like those mozzarella cheese sticks too. I'm going to take 2 for mid-morning snack. And I went into the refrigerator and they were almost entirely gone. I thought, well, I'll talk with Sonia about this later when I get home. Maybe she's hidden them somewhere else in the refrigerator so Lucas doesn't just help himself all at one time. And the bedroom that Lucas was in was right off the kitchen, so I was trying to be as quiet as I could. And so when I came back at lunch, I talked to Sonia, said, what happened to all the cheese sticks? She says, I have no idea. So, well, I thought maybe you hid them somewhere else in the refrigerator. She says, no, I didn't. So we talked with Lucas, and Lucas said, well, I was afraid that you might not let me have those cheese sticks. But Lucas, we said they were yours. We would share with you, but they were yours. We put them down low in a place that you could reach them easily. What did you do with the cheese sticks? He says, I hid them in my bedroom. I said, well, where did you hide them? And so he goes in, and under his pillow, I believe, he pulls out just a few cheese sticks. Of course, they're room temperature at this point. I don't want him eating them at this point. And I said, well, Lucas, there's more than this missing. Where are the rest of them? He says, well, they're hidden. I don't know where they are. Which, for someone almost 4 years old, I get that. I understand that explanation. So I say to Lucas, promise me if you find cheese sticks in this room that you will not eat them because they might make you sick at this point. They need to stay in the refrigerator. So we went to the store and got more cheese sticks, and thankfully those stayed where they were supposed to, and he helped himself as he needed them. As soon as Lucas left, Sonia and I emptied that room of all of its furniture. We found cheese sticks under the bed, between the mattress and box spring, between the box spring and bed frame, in bookcases, in books, in windowsills, behind curtains. I thought we'd probably found all the cheese sticks, and then about 3 years later, we decide to rearrange our living room, and no, we start finding cheese sticks again. Thankfully, each one is individually wrapped, so it didn't attract things we wouldn't want it to, but oh my goodness, that was some very old stinky cheese, I'm very sure. But you know, sometimes we also, out of fear, approach God the same way. I think about the children of Israel. God provides them manna in the wilderness, and he says, collect at this time, don't store up extra. And what do they do? Many of them do. They store up extra because they're afraid God won't provide for them. God says, don't go out on the Sabbath. And what do some of them do? They go out on the Sabbath looking for the manna. And sometimes we come to God the same way. We look at scriptures like what was read this morning, and we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we begin to sort of take that, well, do I fear God? Do I not fear him? Is he trustworthy? Is he not trustworthy? I'm here to tell you, God is trustworthy. And he loves you with a passionate love. And yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but not a fear to be afraid, not a fear to think that he might not do what he has promised. Lucas was afraid that we might take those cheese sticks back and that he would be hungry for a week. And for an almost four-year-old, that's a very real, real fear. But do we not do the same thing? Maybe this time God's not going to provide for me. Maybe this time it's just not going to happen. Maybe this time God's not going to come through. To fear or not to fear, regardless of what Shakespeare might have said, I think this morning, that is the question. So the psalm that we read, Psalm 111 this morning, ends just that way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, the beginning of wisdom, depending on the translation that you read. I think a lot of people wonder if God's not seated on his throne, but maybe he's perched on his throne, looking down, just waiting for us to mess up or miss the mark, and writing it all down in his heavenly journal, just waiting to get revenge on us for those things that we have done wrong. That's not a proper understanding of the fear of God. Scripture agrees that we are to fear God. In fact, the phrase, the fear of God, or fear of God, fear the Lord, or fear God, appears in Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, approximately 500 times. So the Scripture does agree that we are to fear God. But then we come to passages of Scripture like 1 John 4:18. John the Apostle, who walked with Jesus, who knew God in the flesh. John the Apostle writes, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, if we were to back up and read a few verses before, verses 17 through 12, it almost seems more of a paradox, because John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So then we come to scriptures like this. Perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love is God. But we come to God in a place of fear. So is this a paradox of scripture? So let me just go on. In Isaiah talking about Jesus, the Christ, who is to come. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Let me just stop right there. I want to see how many theologians we have in the house. I know we do. Who is Jesse? Yes, I knew this house was full of theologians. Yes, King David. And of course, we understand that the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, was to come from David. David, of course, is the son of Jesse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And verse 3, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes on what his ears hear. So maybe it's not so much the fact that we are to fear God, that the fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe it's the way in which we think of the English word translated for fear. Maybe it's that. So maybe if we go back and look at the Hebrew origins of the word, because obviously the Psalms were written in Hebrew, maybe we would have a better understanding of what it is to fear the Lord, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding. So the word translated from the Hebrew is yirah, yirah. And sometimes yirah means just that, fear. But not always. It has some other meanings as well. Yirah is spelled at least as best as we can get to the English, Y-I-R-A-H. It means, in some instances, respect. Oh, okay, I get that. The respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of understanding, of knowledge. I get that. Okay. But yirah can also mean awe. Think about it. Have you ever stood and maybe watched the sun rise or the sun set, and just all of a sudden you were filled with awe for what God was doing, his creative work in creation, that sunrise or that sunset, and just all of a sudden this awe rises within you of how great our God is, that his mercies are new every morning, his faithfulness is new to us every day, and that awe just rises up within you and you begin to worship. That's what it's talking about when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding. That awe that rises within us. I know of a theology professor, and this is the way he describes it to his theology classes. When he talks of yirah, this is the definition that he gives. Anxiety which leads to excitement. Anxiety which leads to excitement. The fear of the Lord, it's anxiety which leads to excitement. For those of you maybe who like roller coasters, I don't. But you know how that is, going up the hill. Now, I'll do the Scooby-Doo. Probably doesn't count. Doesn't count. Okay. Going up the hill, you know, there's some anxiety there. You get to the top and you crest and you start down. Anxiety which leads to excitement, that thrill, that rush. And that's how God wants us to come to him. Anxiety which leads to excitement. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. It's not being afraid of God. It's that anxiety which leads to excitement of being in his presence, of getting to know him more and more, and entering into a deeper relationship with him. The fact of the awe that He gave His very best for you at Calvary. Christ Jesus died for your sins, doing for you and for me what we could not do for ourselves. Anxiety, which leads to excitement. I get excited when I think about what God has done for me. I pray that you get excited as well when you think about what God has done for you. To think that He loved us that much. Anxiety, which leads to excitement. So I think it's important that we understand the word, the original word, and how it translates into English. I think that's a good place for us to start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Psalms 111:10. Jesus' delight would be in the fear of the Lord. His delight would be in the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11:33. That anxiety which leads to excitement. Reminded of a lady that I know. She's well educated. She has her PhD, I believe, in education. But she has siblings. And she has expressed the thought, you know, I always thought that God liked my siblings more than He liked me. They're more petite. I believe they're smarter. I believe that their spouses love them more. That they've had more success in their lifetime than I have. Believe that God must love them more than He loves me. But I want you to understand that's not theology. That's theophobia. Theophobia is a true clinical diagnosable disorder, which means that we are afraid of God. When I was doing my master's work in psychology, it was one of which we talked about. Not at length, but one that which we talked about. Theophobia is a real thing, and some people suffer with this, thinking that God prefers others to themselves, or that God might show up sometimes, but He's not going to show up in every instance. Let me tell you, we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God is with us always, and what He has said He will do in His Word, He will do. If you are a born-again child of God, if you are His child, you will never want, you will never go without. Spiritually, every need you have is met in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that God doesn't have favorites. His Word says that He doesn't respect people. What He's done for one, He will gladly do for another. Come to God with that anxiety which leads to excitement. Not fearing that He might not meet your need, like Lucas thinking that we would keep the cheese from him. God wants to pour into your life. He wants to be with you. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you, and there's nothing that you can do that will ever stop that love. Are you afraid of someone who loves you that passionately and that deeply? Come to Him with the anxiety which leads to excitement. So, let's get theophobia out of the way and let's think about theology. And here's how we do it. We get in God's Word and we understand His promises to us and what He says about Himself and what His character is. If you think back to Abraham, what does God say to Abraham? He says, "You're my friend." Scripture says that Abraham was a friend of God. In Christ Jesus, we too are friends of God. In Exodus 33:19, Moses is saying to God, and I hope that you'll, in your devotion time, read all of chapter 33 this week. But Moses is saying to God, "I want to know you. If I'm going to lead these people, I want to know you." And of all the things God could have revealed to Moses, He could have said, "Okay, let me show you my justice. Let me show you my vengeance. Let me show you whatever." What does God say to Moses? He says, "Let me show you my goodness." Don't believe me? Let me read it for you. Exodus 33:19, and He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You know, that's not just a solo place in Scripture. Psalms 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Nehemiah 9:20 says, you also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. God will meet your need. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him. God is your stronghold. He is there to protect you. His protection, if you're in Christ Jesus, his protection is always there for you. Do you fear your protector? Come to him in awe that leads to excitement. Mark 10:18, no one is good but one, that is God. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God's character is consistent. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. These are just a few places in Scripture. There are thousands more, and I encourage you, if you struggle with theophobia, get into God's Word and see what he says about himself and see what he says about you. Mark those scriptures down, record them in a journal, repeat those scriptures to yourself daily, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. That's exactly right. I think about Luke 2:10, the shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord came there, and the glory of God shone round about them. And the scripture, at least the King James says, they were sore afraid. In other words, they were beyond terrified. And what does the angel speak to them? Fear not. Yes, fear not. Luke 2:10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Anxiety, which leads to excitement, is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of understanding. I think Psalms 111, 1 through 9 explains it all, explains how to come to God with anxiety, which leads to excitement. I believe those verses were ordered the way God intended for them, so we would understand how to get to that place of anxiety, which leads to excitement. Let me just read the descriptors for you from Psalms 111, 1 through 9. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord with your whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Full of splendor and majesty is his work. His righteousness endures forever. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works. He has given them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. His precepts are trustworthy and established forever and ever, to perform with the faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And then we understand verse 10b. All these who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. Then 10a. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Your wrath, anxiety, which leads to excitement.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.